Hey, thank you guys for being here. My name is Clayton, and I'm the lead pastor here at Central. I'm so glad that you're here with us today. Hey, if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to the book of Philippians. It's in the New Testament, one of the letters. And we'll actually be in Philippians chapter 2 a little bit later on in today's message. But I need to kind of share a quick story that, honestly, I was advised not to share. But I'm going to go ahead and share it anyways. Probably come back to bite me. But hey, when I was 8 years old, I was playing on a soccer team, and our entire team was invited by our coach to go to a monster truck rally. And so we get to this monster truck rally, we're sitting in the stands, and there is a family sitting in front of us, and they're the most redneck family you've ever just imagine the most redneck family you can think of. That was the family. They had like 8 kids. They were all like all over the chairs going crazy. And the mom and dad kept looking over at this one boy that was about my age. He had blonde hair and I had blonde hair. Yes, I did. And looked very similar. And they kept calling his name Critter. Critter. They kept calling him Critter. We're like, what in the world? And my coach came up with this great idea that, hey, y'all look very similar, so I'm going to start calling you Critter. And so for the next like 10 years, guys, that was my name on the soccer team. I hated it. It was awful. It was just a pointless name that people gave me because I looked similar to this other random kid. Well, once I had kids of my own, and once my son and my daughter actually called me Dad, like, that's a name that I want, right? That's a name that actually means something to me because in a way it was like my true identity. This other nickname meant nothing to me and it was a silly nickname. But when I got the name Dad, it changed me. And so I'm going to ask this question to you. What's so important about your name? Your specific name, what is important about your name? Well, it's your identity. When people say your name, what they're thinking about is you. It's what the things that you are known for. It's your identity. And today, this is what we're going to do. We're going to actually look at the name of Jesus. We're going to look at his name. And over the last, this month, in the month of March, we've been talking about this idea of songs that we sing that speak to us and share with us who God is on the journey we have in this life. We're calling it a Pilgrim's Playlist. And it kind of comes from these Old Testament Psalms, Psalm 120 to 135. It was these songs of ascent, they call it. As they were walking up, the people of God were walking up to Jerusalem every year. They would go on these journeys to go to the temple, to worship God, and they would sing these songs. And today, we don't necessarily sing those songs, but we sing our own version of these kind of songs of ascent, or this playlist of us for ourselves as we're walking in our relationship with God, coming to meet with him. And here at Central, we have some songs that we sing. In fact, the song we're going to look at today is a song that you sang just a few minutes ago called What a Beautiful Name. Let me share with you some of the lyrics from this song. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. And it goes on to say not just what a beautiful name it is, but what a wonderful name it is and what a powerful name it is. And so today, this is what we're going to look at is Jesus's name. In the Gospel of Luke, at the very beginning, Luke chapter 1, an angel appeared to Mary and said this in verse 31, that you will conceive and give birth to a son and you will name him Jesus. Jesus. When I was growing up, I thought that that was a very, very unique name. That there's no other name. Nobody else had that name in all of human history. This is a brand new name, the name of Jesus. But the truth is that that was actually a very common name. They've done studies to look at the top names of men during the New Testament time. And here were the top names in that region. Simon, Joseph, Lazarus, Judah, John, and then Jesus. Jesus was number 6 in the most common names. And so you guys have heard many of those names because of the disciples, some of the followers of Jesus, they had those names. See, you see, those names were not unique or one of a kind. They were just common names. Today, if you looked at the top names of the guys that are in the United States, they're these. James is the number 1. Mike, Bob, John, David, and Will. Okay, those are the top names of today. And so these are just common names. And it was so common back then that people actually called Jesus, not just Jesus, but Jesus of Nazareth. The reason they did that, it was to differentiate the Jesus we're talking about in the Bible to all the other Jesuses that were out there in the community. But I also think this is really interesting that God the Father could have given God the Son, Jesus, any name he wanted, right? He could have given him a name that was so unique that had never been uttered in all of human history. But he gave him just this really basic, common name, really. And I think it was for a reason. One of the reasons was to show Jesus's humanity. That God is almost, in a way, speaking to us, saying, look, he's just like you and me. He's just like us. He's human just like you and I are. But also, did you know that in the original languages in Hebrew and Greek, that Jesus was not Jesus' name? That's not his actual name. Not his actual like name back in the biblical times. In fact, I want to show you something on the screen here, a little deep dive into the name of Jesus. In Hebrew, Jesus' real name is Yeshua. Okay? Yeshua. And so if they were speaking Hebrew to Jesus in Aramaic as well, which was the common language of the day, they would have said Yeshua, not Jesus, to him. And so this word Yeshua can be broken up into a couple parts. The Yeh or the Yah at the beginning comes from Yahweh. Okay? And so Yahweh is the Old Testament name for God. That's what they called God in the Old Testament. So that's the beginning. And then the Yasha at the end is the Hebrew word for rescue or saves. And so if you put those together, it's pretty cool. Jesus's Hebrew name is God Saves, which is pretty awesome, okay? Well, if you take the Hebrew name, Yeshua, and you translate it into the Greek, you get Jesus. Jesus. And so in the Greek, throughout the early church, they were calling Jesus Jesus. If you take the Greek and translate it into English, we get Jesus. So that's how we're still worshiping the same Jesus, but that's how his name went from Hebrew to Greek to English. And did y'all know, scientists have been studying this, and they found out that Jesus' last name was Christ. No? No. Everybody's like, playing this wrong, okay? Anybody believe that when they were growing up? Like, his last name is Christ? Someone in the first service said, yeah, I thought it was Joseph Christ and Mary Christ and Jesus Christ. Like that was their last name. That's not his last name. Christ is just the Greek form of the Hebrew for Messiah. And so it's saying Jesus Christ is Jesus the Messiah. That's a special name. That's a really special name. What makes a name special? What makes a name special is not the actual name, but the link that it has to someone's character, to who they are. Let me prove it to you. This has happened so many times, probably even in this room, when a husband and wife are having a child and they're having a son and they are trying to name the son. What happens is for example, like the wife looks at the husband and says, I love the name Kevin. Like I'm just making it up. Okay. I love the name Kevin. I think we should name him Kevin. And the husband says, no, like, Kevin is my uncle's name, and he got caught streaking at the homecoming game when he was 45, okay? So, we don't want to name our son Kevin because I'm always going to think about my naked uncle running through the football field. We're not going to name him Kevin, okay? And so the husband says, instead, let's name him Christian because that's like biblical or something, right? Or it's going to be awesome. I love the name Christian. And the wife says, no. I dated a guy named Christian for like 2 years in college. Like, we're not naming him Christian. I'm going to be thinking about him for the rest of my life. I don't want to do that. And so it happens all the time, right? So you go back and forth and you can't figure out a name. Why? Because it's linked to somebody else. It's linked to their character. Sometimes it's linked to good character. And so you name someone after someone who is really important in your life. Well, Jesus's name was special, not because it's a unique, one-of-a-kind name, but because it's his name is a link to his character, to who Jesus is. The other day, Holly and I, my wife, we were thinking about buying some trees to put in our backyard. And so we're literally on the couch just talking about it, just thinking about it. And then the next day, I'm on my phone and I'm getting all these ads about trees. I'm like, I wasn't on my phone. I wasn't looking stuff up. And now I've got all these ads about trees. Anybody else get that? It happens all the time. I'm like, what in the world? And so you see these ads to the tree. It's just like a basic, hey, you know, 35% off or whatever. And so if you click on a simple ad like that, what it does is it opens up a whole new world, doesn't it? It opens you up to a website that's full of stuff. You can look and do reviews and you can purchase things. It's just to a whole new world, just a simple link like that. And I want you to think about Jesus' name kind of like that. Jesus' name is like a link to who he really is. And if you click on that link, what happens is you realize that Jesus is so much more than just a name. Because his name, what it does is it reveals his mission and his identity. You see, even in his name, we see that he is God who saves. This is who he is and the mission that he is on. And the Bible talks about the importance of Jesus' name in several places. I want to take you to a couple of them. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, here's what it says about Jesus' name. It says, there is salvation in no one else, okay? There's no one else in all of human history where salvation comes from. There's salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. So what that is saying is that if we are believers in Jesus, if you give your life to Jesus, if you repent of your sin and ask for forgiveness, what you're doing is you're being saved in Jesus' name. But also in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter is preaching. He says this, that each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be, what? Baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. So not only are we saved in Jesus' name, we're also baptized in Jesus' name. And Jesus himself in John 4:13 says, look, you know what you can do? You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. And so you and I are to pray in Jesus' name as well. You want to know why we always at the end of a prayer say in Jesus' name? It's because Jesus says to do that. Pray in my name. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in what? The name of Jesus. The name of the Lord Jesus. So what it's saying is that not only are we saved in Jesus' name, not only are we supposed to be baptized in his name, not only do we pray in his name, but if we're believers in Jesus, we actually act on behalf of Jesus' name. That can be scary, guys, because I know what I've done, and I can only imagine what all of y'all have done, okay? Like, that's scary to think that you and I, we represent Jesus to the world in everything that we do. His name's important. It's powerful. But you know what? Satan, he really has always wanted to change what we think about when we think about Jesus' name. Because Satan hates Jesus' name. I believe that Satan, according to God's word, that he influenced people back when Jesus was about to go to the cross and influenced them in such a way that Jesus was falsely tried and accused and hung up on a cross and killed. I think Satan had a grand plan to take Jesus' name and associate it with something that's so humiliating and so degrading that for all of human history, no one would utter his name because it was such an awful and terrible thing. You see, Satan wanted to shame Jesus on the cross. But God, what he did, God played what I like to call the Uno reverse card. Okay, anybody play Uno, right? And so the game is going one way, and all of a sudden you just throw one of those bad boys down, and it changes the flow of everything. Everybody had a plan going this way, and now it reverses the other way. And this is exactly what God the Father did when Jesus was up on the cross. And it changed how we view Jesus' name, and also how it changes how we view what happened on the cross. Because think about it. Now, today, 2,000 years later, so many people have a cross around their neck, right? Why in the world do we have a cross around our neck? The thing that represents torture and murder, okay? Capital punishment. We wear a torture device, okay, around our neck. And so many people get the name Jesus tattooed on their body to forever represent who is the Lord of their life. We celebrate the name of Jesus when Satan wanted us to forget the name of Jesus. But you know what? Satan still has a last card that he's playing, I believe, right now in our culture. It's actually to turn Jesus' name into an expletive. and a cuss word. Let me prove it to you. When you stub your toe, no one yells Muhammad, okay? No one in our culture yells Buddha. What do we yell? Just naturally, because the influences in our culture and just our sinful nature, we end up, a lot of times, just reflexively, we use the name Jesus. And sometimes we even put adjectives on the front and the back side of his name to represent what's going on. And let me just say this, maybe this is a little too much, but I just think it's kind of satanic in our culture, where, like, the devil, it's the devil's way of dirtying up Jesus's name in your heart and coming out of your mouth. And so what happens is, when you feel frustrated, when you're full of pain, there's disgust, when you have fear going on, whatever emotion you have, there's just this natural tendency to just throw his name out there. What we're doing is we're using and abusing this beautiful, wonderful, powerful name of Jesus. And we shouldn't abuse his name. Instead, we should run to it. The Bible says in the Old Testament, in Proverbs 18:10, that the name of the Lord is a strong fortress. I love that. Or a strong tower, your version may say. And the godly, what they do, they don't run from his name. They don't abuse his name. No, they run to him and are safe. You see, the name of Jesus isn't a cuss word. Instead, it is actually, whether you know it or not, it is the most important word that will ever come out of your mouth and off of your lips. Because it answers, what it does is it answers two of the most important questions that you will ever ask. The first question is this: how can I have a meaningful life? And the answer is, Jesus. The second question is, how can I get to heaven when I die? And the answer is, Jesus. The answer to both of those is the name Jesus. So this is where I'd like to look at one thing in Philippians chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, and I ask you to open that, but let me read something to you. Here's what the Bible has to say about Jesus' name in this letter. It says this. It says that God the Father, he elevated him, meaning the Son of God, he elevated God the Son to the place of highest honor, and he gave him, get this, the name above all other names. And the Bible, throughout Scripture, talks so much about Jesus and who he is that it takes his name, which is just a basic common name, and gives Jesus so many titles that describe and give weight to the name of Jesus, like this. The Bible says that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, that he's the Advocate, the Almighty, the Amen, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, the author and perfecter of our faith, the beginning and the end, the bread of life, the bridegroom and the cornerstone. The Bible says that Jesus is the Christ, the creator, the deliverer, the eternal life, faithful and true, the first and the last and the firstborn over all creation. He is God Almighty, the good and great shepherd, the great high priest, the great I am, and the head of the church. He is the heir of all things, holy and true. He is the hope of glory, the horn of salvation, and the image of God. The Bible says that he is Emmanuel, the judge of the living and the dead, the King of kings, the Lamb of God, the last Adam, the light of the world, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the living stone, and the Lord of glory. He is the mediator of the new covenant, the Messiah himself, mighty God, the morning star, the only begotten Son of God. He is our holiness, our protection, our redemption, our righteousness, and our sacrifice. He is the power of God, the resurrection and life. He is the rock, the root of David, the ruler of God's creation, the Savior, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the stone the builders rejected, the source of eternal salvation, the true vine, wisdom, the Word of God, and the way, the truth, and the life. Right? That is who Jesus is. And I love what happens in the very next verse, because here's what it says about what's going to happen someday. Here's what it says in verse 10. It says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, those two verses are not good news to some people. It is not good news to those who have never trusted in Jesus. But it does say that every single person will one day bow before Jesus. The worst person in all of human history, Satan himself and all of his demons, they will call Jesus Lord. But they won't say, he is my Lord. And there is a big difference here, guys. They won't see him as beautiful. They won't see him as wonderful. They won't see him as powerful. But the truth this morning is, you can. You have an opportunity to see Jesus from a personal perspective. Not just knowing about him, not just realizing at the end of your life, oh, he really is who the Bible says he is. But you have an opportunity to actually have a relationship with him where you can say, no, he is my Lord. When you put your trust in Jesus, instead of putting your trust in your own power to save you from your sins, to try to wipe away your sins so that you can one day be in heaven with God, no, the Bible says that if you put your trust in Jesus, you will be saved. When you say, you know what? I'm tired of running. I'm tired of living my life to try to get my good to outweigh my bad. Guys, it's never going to work. Only thing that works, the Bible says, is when we lay everything at Jesus' feet and say, look, Jesus, I'm done running. I want to trust in you to be my Lord and Savior. I believe you died on the cross to pay for my sins. And I believe that, as the scriptures say, that 3 days later you rose from the grave. And the Bible says, look, when you do that, when you confess that, when you put your hope in him, then you will be saved. And no longer is Jesus just the Lord. He now is your Lord. He is my Lord. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. His name is wonderful. It is beautiful. And it is powerful. Not because his name is this unique, one-of-a-kind name. No, it's because of the person who Jesus is. And the name is pointing to Jesus, the Lord and Savior of this earth. In fact, Jesus says that we are to pray in his name. And so I'm going to invite you to bow your heads. And I'd like to close today by praying for you and with you in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you that we have a Savior. We thank you for the free gift of salvation. It's not based off the things that we can do to earn it. We can never earn our salvation. We can never earn forgiveness from our sins that separate us from a holy God. And so you sent your Son, Jesus, and you gave him the name that is above all names. And someday every person is going to bow and say, Jesus actually is Lord. And I pray for everyone in this room, anyone listening or watching online right now, who would today want to say, you know what? I want him to be my Lord. I pray, Father, that they would right now confess their sins, share their sins with you, and say, God, I want forgiveness and ask for it. I pray that they would turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Be my Savior. And I pray, God, you would forgive them of their sins, that they would have a true, honest relationship with you. They could say, Jesus is my Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for all the titles that you have. You're way more than just the name. But your name also points to you. And so when we sing about your name and we pray in your name, Lord, help us to truly honor you and recognize all the things that you've done for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name.